Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to refocus for a moment about what it is that we're here for tonight. Okay? And as the Lord continues to just lead us into this direction where we're able to allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, and that each one of us has a supply of the Spirit according to the Word of God for the benefit of the rest of the body. The Bible says that it's according to, it's every joint that is supplying. You know, your little finger, it supplies something for your body. Your toe, it supplies something for the body. If you don't believe that, hit it on the corner of a dresser at night, and all of your body will go to that one little member and go to its aid. And so, you know, church isn't just about the pastor, although as the pastor, the Lord gives me direction in what we are to do, and the Lord has things that I am to impart into you, right? But as we all come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says every one of you, you know, has a doctrine, has a song. And interestingly enough, that scripture says every one of you. Okay? Now, what's important there is to know that whether tonight is that night where you need to share, you need to know that you actually do have something. Every one of you. You bring something with you. You bring your part. You bring your supply of the Spirit. And so it's just that there will be certain ones that you know really feel strongly about stepping out and sharing what the Lord has for them. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he, talking about God, gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Look at the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for, and look at this next phrase, the edifying of the body of Christ. Say edify. And now let's go on and look at verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, he's not talking about us individually just becoming perfect in everything, but he's really talking about us growing up into the body of Christ. We're create as every joint does what it's supposed to do, as every part does what it's supposed to do, we're coming together as a body and creating this perfect man, this perfect body of Christ here on the earth. Hallelujah. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Fullness. In other words, we're supposed to measure up to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking on Sunday morning and looking in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, the Son, full of what? Grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ. Now, for us to come to this measure, to measure up to the fullness of Jesus Christ, what was he full of? Grace and truth. Which means, where are we going? We're going to be full of what? Grace and truth. Oh, glory to God. Everything that God has given us and God has done for us, everything that's been purchased for us and poured out upon us has been done through God's grace. right? And so Jesus ministered and operated and lived his life out of the fullness of grace that was in him. And now we get the opportunity of growing to the fullness and allow that fullness that was in him to operate in us. Now, this is awesome. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. But see, the gifts of the ministry, the apostles, the prophets, pastors, teachers, all of that was given to help us get to that place. In 1 Corinthians 14, he starts in verse 1, follow after charity. In other words, love has to be the motivation. Everything that you do. And love doesn't focus on itself. It focuses in on others. Love is something that you show for somebody else. That's the reason that God created us. See, God is love. Love demands that there is an object, somebody, something that it can show itself to. When when I fell in love with Jennifer, I wanted to do things for Jennifer. Hey, Courage, how you doing? He wants to preach with us. And so my love motivated me just to, shower her with gifts and all of that. Her love for me motivated her to, Jennifer said, what happened? Where's the gifts? Well, it's on your finger. Once I gave her that diamond ring, right? I mean, it's a done deal, right? Oh, Justin, don't listen to me, Justin, okay? Keep showering with gifts, man. Keep showering with gifts. No, but love motivates you to do things for other people. Amen. Her love motivated her to do things for me, And so the love of the Father motivated him. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. His love, he loved us so much that his love caused him to do something for us. Now here it says that we are to follow after love. In other words, love has to be our motivation in everything that we do. And it says, now desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. We desire moving in the Spirit. We desire the gifts of the Spirit. We desire all of these things to happen. But notice that it's preferenced with follow after love. That's the first thing. Don't be seeking after the gifts if you aren't willing to walk in love. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for a purpose. And this is what I want you to see and why I kind of want to focus in on this for just a moment. Because he's talking about speaking in tongues and things like that. But verse 3, he says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification. Remember, Ephesians chapter 4 says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and exhortation and comfort. The purpose for what we do out of our love is to benefit the body. We come here to be edified. We come here to be built up. We come here, if the Lord uses us, to pour something out. Paul, when he went to a place, he said, I came that I might impart some spiritual gift unto you. If we've had a difficult week, if we've had a difficult day, then we come to allow ourselves to be built up. Use this as a moment to recharge. But always, 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 we're seeking to edify. We're seeking to build up. We're seeking to impart something into somebody. And that's why God's given us gifts. So the Lord's given me very specific instruction in how this service is going to go tonight. And to begin with, what he's asked me to do is let us receive from the gift of, I guess I'll say, a teacher right now, where his function is. I've asked Brad to share for a few moments what the Lord has laid on his heart. And then we're going to move on into some other things that the Lord's instructed me to do. Amen. So, Brad, would you come up here and just share with us what the Lord's given you for tonight, please? Yes, sir. Thank you.
Praise God. How's everybody doing? So wonderful to be part of a good church family, isn't it? Amen. So wonderful to have pastors that allow us to express the gifting God has placed inside of us and given unto us. And that is such a privilege and such honor, and I say thank you. You know, Pastor Mark was sharing, and I was thinking about that. I love 1 Corinthians 14:1 when it says, desire love. You know, the Amplified version of the Bible says, make love our highest quest in life. And the love it's talking about is the love that God has for us. You know, the motor of the gifts of the Spirit is His love for us and His love for others. And it's that is what we pursue when we pursue to follow after the voice of God. When we pursue to follow after God, we're pursuing His love for people. That's the pursuit. That's the desire. And then it says we crave after. I love that where it says we desire then spiritual gifts. We look for the things of the Spirit. And it says we hunger after them. And the word is actually the same word that is used for envy and jealousy. It's just in the positive context. We have a jealousy, a envy, a hunger, a desire, a passion to see what 1 Corinthians 14 lays out in operation in our life for the love of others. Selena and I had the privilege of going to Rhema Bible Training Center, and that was awesome. But my favorite time was after I graduated, because the Lord opened a door and we were able to travel for a short period with Brother Hagin. We got to be part of his crusade team, and we operated cameras and did stuff in their production department and got to travel around North America and just see God do some wonderful stuff. But I was thinking about what we're doing on Wednesday nights in connection with a meeting, and I can't remember the exact city we were in, but I just remember what happened that night. In that Brother Hagin was preaching, I'm running a camera, and he says, you know, I'm entering into the last phase of my life in ministry. And I remember looking around going, nobody seems real alarmed that he just said that. I mean, you know, because if you ever knew anything about Brother Hagin, he talked about the phases of life and ministry that he had walked into. And he says, but I'm rounding the corner into the last phase of my life in ministry. And then he began to say, you know, for so many years, the Lord used us and God taught us to teach our people faith, how to believe God, how to trust Him at His word, and how to access the promises He gave us through Jesus Christ. And then there was a change that came, and another phase came where we began to do Holy Ghost meetings. And Brother Hagin said this, he says, you know, there's a move of God that will be lost on this generation unless we teach them. So he began to teach about following after the voice of the Spirit of God and following after the promptings and the movings of the Spirit of God. But what got me that night is he says, but we're entering into this phase of our time on earth where God is bringing those two things together. The reason he taught us faith and the reason he taught us how to follow after his Spirit is so that we could put the two together and leave our life knowing and trusting that He has cared for us, step into His life and go out there with faith and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Underpinned by the grace of God that extends for all mankind, and go out and do what He always desired to do, which was not just have Christ alone dwelling with man, but have Christ in many dwelling with man. Hallelujah. Because church, you are the Word made flesh in Christ dwelling among men. That's you. That's me. I'm in Him. He's in me. We're together in unity with God through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God. So now His body, which is still the Word made flesh, is now everywhere. Yeah. That's good. Bringing faith and the power of the Spirit of God to the world. Amen. Are you with? So church, everything we're doing on these Wednesday nights is so powerful, not just for Wednesday night. It's powerful for what you and I do Monday through Saturday. Everywhere, wherever you go, it's so important that we step into these things for not here, but for there. This is all this is. If you look, is this a locker room? This is a practice field. This is a practice court where we begin to step out, knowing and getting comfortable with faith and the moving of the Spirit of God, so that when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're out there, we're comfortable with it. We know that prompting. Amen. So church, tonight, just what I had felt laid on my heart from God to bring tonight is for you to understand it's easy to hear from God. Everybody say that. Say it's easy.
It's easy.
You know, it was one of those things as a pastor for so many years, people would come up with things and you're trying to help people and answer people's questions. And, you know, kind of once you got people past the three basic prayer requests, you know, I'm still waiting for an original prayer request. You know, we're either praying for, you know, money, health, or some kind of busted relationship to be fixed, right? Yeah. Kind of seems like the three general scopes of, I'm still waiting for some original prayer requests to come in because we, you know, but once you kind of help somebody move past the three basics, then they normally come into the thing is this thing about hearing from God, following God. What's God's will? What's his plan? What does he want me to do? Was that me or was that pizza? What was that? But church, it's easy to hear from God because it's in your nature to hear from God. Go to John and go to two chapters in John the 8th chapter and John the 10th chapter. And Lord, we just always ask you for grace deposits and truth impartations in Jesus' name. You know, John chapter 8. It's an interesting, it's a fun chapter to read. It's one of my favorites in the Gospels because Jesus kind of gets in this name-calling match with the Pharisees. I don't know how many of you have ever read John chapter 8, and you know, and they basically call Jesus an illegitimate child, and he turns around and calls them children of the devil. And it kind of keeps escalating in this kind of name-calling argument going. But then Jesus says in verse 47, he says, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear," talking about the Pharisees, "because you are not of God." But notice what the first part of that verse says. He who is of God. Are you of God?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Are you of God?
Yes.
Then you hear God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He who is of God hears God's words. That's who you are. Then you go over a couple of pages of John chapter 10. Around it says in verse 27, a famous verse maybe for many of us, it says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." How many sheep we have here? Amen. It's a good thing to be a sheep. Amen. If you're of God, you hear his voice. It's easy to hear from God because it's what you were made for. It's what you were designed for. You know, many times we do, why did God make us? Why did he make us in his image? He made us so that he could talk to us and communicate with us. That's why God isn't wholly other. He isn't completely different from us. And we're not completely different from him. He made us in his image so that we could hear him. Hallelujah. And then when we step into new life in Christ and the Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of us, that only gets louder. Praise God.
Yes.
Say, it's easy to hear from God.
I was made to hear from God.
I know his voice. Hallelujah. That's who you and I are. As we look at this more, there's two primary, if you will, conduits or two primary ways God talks to us. One is his word. And the next one is the still small voice, or really I like to say it, the voice of our human spirit. And tonight what I want to share with us is we can, as we understand it's easy for me to hear God's voice, then we can begin to look at things in Scripture and attune our ears to a greater degree. Amen. But I want to base what we're saying tonight on the fact that it's easy. Say it's easy. I don't know if you guys, anybody else like me? I mean, before I kind of realized this through the power, I used to always think it was hard. Anybody else used to think it was hard? Anybody else to think, be challenged about that? Hey, church, it's not hard. Amen. God is a blabbermouth. He is talking all the time. Amen. And we are attuned to his voice. You know, when it says that thing, when it says about my sheep hear my voice, the analogy in that setting, in that pastoral culture is the shepherd would have a word or a phrase that he would use, and all day long he would talk to his sheep, and he would use that phrase. Because at night when the shepherds got together, they would put all the sheep together in one common fold, and they would be safe, and they would sleep, and the shepherds would get rest. And the shepherd would stand up in the morning, and he would use his key word or phrase, and only his sheep would pop their little heads up. And they would follow the shepherd out. And that's the analogy, Jesus. You hear his voice. Never doubt the fact that you hear his voice. Never again say it's hard to hear. I can't hear. I don't know. Because you were designed to know. Amen. Brother Hagin taught us four things, and I just wanted to share them with you. Is how do we then help this ability God has given in us to get sharper and clearer? Number one is put God's word first. I mean, if you go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and you look there. I'm going to move on. I'll try to see. Just Proverbs chapter 4, if you look there. Around verse 20, it says something like this. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Keep them before your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. For those that find my words find medicine or health for their body. If you're here needing healing tonight. Amen. God's word is your medicine. Yes. But then it says, and then guard your heart with all diligence, because from your heart come the boundaries or the borders of your life. It says the issues of your life, depending on your translation. But the word in the Hebrew language means the boundaries of your territory. So listen to that. We put God's word first. We give it first place, first attention. In our life. That means whenever we're looking at a situation, a circumstance, or anything, the first thing we ask ourselves is, what does God's word say? Now, we don't say this. We don't say, what does this mean to me? We say, what does he mean when he says it? Does that make sense? What is God saying about this situation? I'm putting his word first. Why? Because his word will guard my heart. And as my heart follows the word, then the boundaries literally of my life expand to match what the word says. Then my heart opens up and my boundary, my territory enlarges, and I walk into the fullness of my life in Christ. I walk into the fullness of what he's created me to do, what he's created me to be. Why? Because the word of God is first. The word of God expands my heart. And as my heart expands in the word of God, my life expands. Amen. So we put God's word first. Secondly, we meditate on the word of God. We meditate on the word of God. In Mark chapter 4, we find the story of the parable. And as it goes on, and Jesus tells the story about the sower sowing the word in Mark's version, he goes on to talk about the kingdom of God and how it's like a seed sown in the ground that produces first a little bitty blade, then a stalk, and then the full corn or the full grain in the stalk. And then he says around verse 24 in the Amplified Bible, he says this, he says, "So then take heed what you hear. Because with the same measure of thought and study you give to the revelation you have received, then that measure is returned unto you in more revelation." The same measure of thought and study that we give to what God has revealed to us, that is how the word grows and expands in our heart. Through meditation, through thinking on the word. Again, we're not talking about emptying our mind. We're not talking about transcendental meditation where we try to not think about anything. We're talking about biblical meditation where we focus our mind and think on what God has shown us in his word. Yeah. We meditate on it. Paul tells Timothy, as his son in the faith, he says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He says, remember what was imparted into you by the laying on the hands of the eldership, the gift of ministry that was put in you. And then he says, now meditate on those things. Meditate on what? What you've been reading. The exhortation, the teaching you've been receiving. Meditate on the doctrine, the instruction that comes from Scripture. Meditate on what you know that God has deposited in you. Through, as Pastor Mark said earlier, through the ministry of the Spirit of God, the gifting and the grace that you have, meditate on that. Think about that. Why? Because as you meditate on that, then Mark chapter 4, verse 24, it begins to grow. It begins to expand. It begins to increase. It begins to get bigger and realer. Is that a good word? Inside of us for who we are. So we meditate on the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Then the next thing is we obey the Word of God. We obey the clear instruction that is on the inside of it. You know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 3, John says, you know, that if you see a brother in need and you have the wherewithal to meet the need, and it says, and you close up the bowels of compassion, amen, or the love that's on the inside of you. Amen. Selena's my favorite thing, and she's telling me I can't say this. I love her. I love picking on my wife from the pulpit. It's awesome. You know, you can spiritually constipate yourself. You can close up your bowels of compassion. Amen. But don't worry, you can take the laxative of love. Amen. And be free to have a movement of God. I just need to laugh a little bit. But you get the end. But that's what God was saying. Don't close up the fountain of love, the love he's poured out on the inside. Don't close that up. How do we close that up? By not recognizing what's obvious. How do we close the fountain of love? By not observing what's... John says, if you see somebody in need, you have the means to meet the need. Go meet the need.
That's good.
You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to intercede and see what God would say. God was already talking. The need showed up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we obey the Word of God in its clear instruction. The habit of obeying the known helps us obey the unknown.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
And when we say that again?
Yes.
Amen. I said that the first time right there. The habit of obeying the known helps us when it's time to obey the unknown.
Yeah.
Again, how do I know when it's Wednesday, and how do I know God wants me to step up and say something? But developed a habit of obeying the known.
Yeah, that's good.
You've developed the habit of looking and just reading Scripture, and Scripture says, go do that. Oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. I'll go do that. Amen. And around Luke, the 8th chapter, it's the same story as Mark chapter 4, where in Luke, the 8th chapter, around the 18th verse, if I'm remembering right, it says, now Jesus says, now be careful how you hear. In Mark 4, he says, be careful what you hear. In Luke 8, 18, he says, be careful how you hear. Because with the measure of your how, it will be measured back unto you. So we're to guard what we're hearing, but we're to guard how we hear it. Well, what does that mean? Jesus is talking about what I call the law of use it or lose it. He says you have to hear with an attitude towards obedience. I'm reading, I'm listening to the word of God, and my whole attitude is Lord, I'll do it. Whatever it is, whatever it says, I'll do it. I'll obey. Why? Because I'm developing the habit of obedience to the known. So that when it comes time to step into the unknown, I know what that's like. I know my master's voice. And the voice of another I shall not follow. And then finally, the fourth thing is to obey the voice of your human spirit instantly. Obey it instantly. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. I haven't kept track of any form of time. Pastor Mark, am I okay? Romans, the 8th chapter. So notice as we've been looking at this, the emphasis is on the Word of God. We put the Word of God first. We meditate on the Word of God. We think on the Word of God. We obey the known so that now we can stand out with confidence on the things of the Spirit. See, the things of the Spirit are always built upon the Word of God. The Spirit will never move us beyond the Word of God. It will only move us deeper into the Word of God, but never beyond the Word of God. Hallelujah. But it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, again, maybe very familiar passages to us. We'll look at, man, there's so much to say in there. Here, one of my favorite chapters here, Paul is writing to us about that we're free from sin. Amen. That's what it says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Around verse 4 it says, so we walk not after the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. For those that live according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Because the carnal mind is at enmity or is a contrary to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, everybody say, but me, are not in the flesh. Just in case you were wondering. You're not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How many of you have the Spirit dwelling in you? Amen. Then you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also bring life or quicken your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. Now look at verse 12. I did all that to get to verse 12. So therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, talking about the fact that we are in the Spirit. Brothers, you are now no longer debtors to the flesh. You owe no debt to the flesh. Praise God. To live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You will be led by the Spirit of God. I mean, I can't do that as a teacher to say those two verses are connected together. The Spirit of God will lead us into the mortification of our body. What that means is just like his pastor's been saying, grace, like it says in Titus, will teach us how to say yes and how to say no. Before, we never could say no. But now we can say no. It says it'll teach you to say no to ungodliness and wickedness and worldliness, and it'll teach you to say yes to righteousness and holiness and purity and to the things of God. The Spirit of God is going to lead you into the fullness of His power. It's going to lead you into all things holy, all things pure, all things righteous. Amen. And it says in Philippians chapter 4, the 8th chapter, it's famous, right? It says, now therefore think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and pure and holy and lovely and trustworthy and all the, remember that verse? It says, think on these things. It's the word meditate in my New King James Version. But in the Greek language, it's the same word used in Romans when it says, and Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So when it says, when you meditate about these things, you're meditating on them as that's already mine. I'm not thinking about the good, the pure, the holy, the lovely as if it's out there. Yeah. I'm thinking on it because it's already in here. Amen. Amen. And that's where the Spirit of God. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear in verse 15. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. Notice what it says. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. How does He do that? Go to chapter 9, verse 1. Paul tells us how the Spirit does that. He says, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bears witness in the Holy Spirit. How do we obey the voice of the Spirit instantly? Because as we walk through these things, as we put God's word first, as we meditate on the word of God, think on it, and have our mind renewed to it, and it expands the boundaries of our life, as we become habit forming in obeying the known, when it comes time to step into the unknown, our conscience, the voice of our human spirit, is so attuned to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, it becomes a sure guide. It becomes a trustworthy guide. You can trust that inner impression, that inner prompting, that inner witness. Amen. And it becomes sure and true because it's following the North Star of the Word of God. It's following the Spirit of God as He leads us into it. And that little impression, remember Jiminy Cricket wasn't that far off. You can always let your conscience be your guide. As long as your conscience has been tempered by the Word of God. The Bible says that through Christ He has sprinkled our conscience with His blood and purified it, it says in Hebrews. Yeah. Our conscience has been purified. We can trust that inner impression. We can trust that inner witness. Remember, and it says around in Acts chapter 18, and I'll end with this. It's the story of Paul's Macedonian call. You remember that? It says that Paul was traveling through the regions. He had gone to some certain places, and it says he wanted to go to the province of Asia. And as he was moving in that direction, the Spirit of God forbade him to go. It blocked him. Now, no, Paul was doing what we've talked about tonight. All through that chapter, in chapter 18, you're reading through there, Paul is operating on what he knows. I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I carry the message of justification by faith in Christ alone. I'm operating on the known. Hey, there's Gentiles in Asia. Let's go over there. And somewhere between making that decision and arriving in Asia, the Holy Spirit stopped him. Now, again, I don't know if you guys are like me, but I used to feel terrible when I got the check of the Spirit of God. Because I used to always think in my head, I've already missed it. If I had just been listening closer, then God wouldn't have had to check me. Anybody else feel that way? Or am I by myself? I used to feel, I mean, I did. And again, this may just be me. I'm not trying to put this off on anybody, but I used to feel so bad when the Spirit of God would check me. When he would sit there and I'd think, oh, I've already missed it. He had to check me. Oh, I'm such a bad listener. Don't ever do that. Don't be so foolish as I was. Don't be that foolish, because that's not a sign that you've missed it. It's a sign of sonship. Paul was just operating on the known. He was walking in the revelation of what he knew from the word of God given to him. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I carry the message of justification by faith. And there's Gentiles over there. And he just made a decision. Notice Paul didn't pray about that. He didn't gather the boys together and say, let's pray. Does God want us to go to Asia? He was just obeying the known. And somewhere along that way, God stopped him. And said, no, don't go over there. So Paul stops and says, okay. And kind of in my sanctified imagination, I hope you use yours too. Somebody use your sanctified imagination. My sanctified imagination, that kind of happened in the morning. You know, they kind of got up, they had breakfast, they kind of made the decision they're going to Asia. And somewhere before lunch, God stopped them. So they stopped and had a falafel and ate some lunch. And somewhere over their falafel at lunchtime, Paul's talking. He says, well, you know what? There's Gentiles in Bithynia. Let's go to Bithynia. I'm still the apostle to the Gentiles. I'll still carry the message of justification by faith. I still know what God would have me to do. Let's go to Bithynia. So he steps towards Bithynia, and somewhere before dinner time, God stops him again. Now, if Paul had been like many Christians, he'd have quit the ministry right there. I can't hear from God twice in the same day. God's had to check me. My ears must be plugged. You know, that pastor, well, that's what your pinky's for, right? And I got to clear out my ears. Paul never had that. He just stopped and did what we should all do. He took a nap. He rested in the grace of who he was. It says he went to sleep that night and had a vision of the man from Macedonia saying, please come over here and help us. He got up in the next morning and said, all right, let's go over to Macedonia. Do you see how easy it is to hear from God? How we should never fear anything in the voice of our Father. Whether it be a voice of comfort, exhortation, or correction. Because they're not marks of failure, they're marks of sonship. And how God takes us and he leads us in the known so that we become so comfortable with his known voice that when we step forth into something that is unknown, because, I mean, my name's not written, it doesn't say Brad Holloman is a teacher anywhere in the Bible. But as I step into, I've become so comfortable knowing what I know that as I step forward into that, I'm confident in the conscience of God and how he speaks to my conscience. Amen. Praise God. Hey, Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there's so many out of that. I could take two things. Constipation, laxative, and a move. I hope that's not the only thing you take out of that. But just that one thing about about obeying the known sets you up for knowing the voice of God when it comes to the unknown. Right? Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that we hear your voice. We thank you, Father, that we as your children, sons of the Most High God, daughters of the Most High God, that our spiritual DNA is to hear your voice, that we're in a place that we can be used by you, that the gifts of the Spirit can flow through us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, there's a specific reason why this, before we got into the teaching, that we did the songs that we did tonight. A lot of times, some of the songs that we have, you know, is kind of designed to, I mean, I just do what the Spirit of God says. And a lot of times it's just to kind of take us to that place of just worship and focus. But no, tonight the Lord said, I want songs on healing. Okay? So, if you would, just stand with me for a moment. Father, we give you praise. So if you need healing tonight, I know Joy does, and I'm going to pray with her. But if anybody else wants to come up, we're going to allow the Spirit of God to move. He confirms his word with signs and wonders following. We've seen so many people healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your love. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Joy, the Spirit of the Lord says that as painful as this has been for the past few days, that the healing is easy. The more pain doesn't make it more difficult to receive. And what the devil tried to do in taking you out because of the change that you just had in the last couple of days, God's grace was there to protect you. God's grace, where sin doth abound, not sin in the sense that something was wrong, but sin in the sense that disease and a sickness and all of those things, that's a result of sin. When it tries to come in, the grace of God much more abounds. And so he says, receive an overabundance of his love and of his grace. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Jesus. Holy Ghost, thank you. Glory to your name. Now you're back. Where was the pain? Did it hurt when you bend over? Okay. Is it just right here? Just right in here, right? No, not on the other side, right? Just right there. In the name of Jesus. Muscles are being repaired right now. In Jesus' name. It's just a muscle thing is what it is. You haven't been able to do all that, have you? What? You couldn't touch your toes? Okay. Move around some more. Move all around. Glory to God. That's all I need to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know, but the pain that she has been going through in her back, she had an incident on Friday that created a lot of pain in her back. In her lifetime, this is the worst pain that she has ever experienced. Worse, she said it's worse than childbirth. Worth. Melanie on the front, whoa, that's bad. And I mean, she's my sister. I've known her all my life. And I mean, she's gone through some difficult things, but this is the worst pain that she's ever experienced. And this is the love of the Father and the grace of God. So how are we doing? Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Come on, give the Lord another praise offering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. Oh, you love us so very much. Is there anybody else here that would like to be prayed for tonight? Hallelujah. It's just up to you. There's never any pressure. Glory to God. We just give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, so let's just take a few moments there was such a rich word right there and the Spirit of God just moving right now. So just for a moment, does anybody have something that the Lord's just kind of deposited into them tonight that they'd like to step out and just share for a few minutes? This is an opportunity for the Spirit of God. Come here. Hallelujah.
Hey, but Jesus, like, you hear so many Christians nowadays saying, well, we're not good Christians because we're not the perfect Christians. We weren't sent down here to be the perfect Christians. We were sent down here to share God's love and God's word and God's healing to people, not just to be the perfect Christians. That's what Jesus was there for. He had to fill 109, I believe, prophecies. We were sent on the earth to share the healing and help people just receive God's word, not just to be there just to be the perfect Christian. We're supposed to be examples, but we don't have to be the perfect example. I mean, everyone messes up. So that's really it.
Actually, it's a really good word. Here's the thing that I got from that, is that when we're trying to be perfect, then what we're doing is we have fallen from grace and we're resting in ourselves. But Jesus came and he was that perfect person. And his perfection, he that is perfect, is already living on the inside of me. So I don't have to try to be perfect. I have the perfect one on the inside. Now I'm just going to allow myself to be used, and allow his perfection to operate through me. See? So see, that's a good word. It gets your eyes off of yourself and it puts the eyes on Jesus where it belongs. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who else has something to share? Glory, glory, glory. I know there's something else going on. We'll give it space. This is what allowing each member of the body to help. See, this is this is what church is about. Edifying, building up, everybody being a part of this thing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give it a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Just kind of going off of what Brad was sharing today, we have to obey, of course, but the thing that gets in the way is fear, and we've got to learn to cast away that fear and to do what God has told us to do instead of being afraid to do.
Amen. Let's just be bold to step out. Amen. For those that may be here for the first time, it's like, what's going on? This is a little different. Well, you know, it's just, we're just letting the Spirit of God just move through people. It's just love for one another, you know? And it's not all just about what's happening up here in the pulpit. It's what God wants to do with everybody. We've had a wonderful, wonderful move tonight. This was very powerful. Let's pray. Father God, Father, we love you so much. Father, just thank you for the word, what it means to hear your voice, how important it is for us to put the word first place in our life, how you use the word that we meditate on and that we think about as a voice to us. And that as we step out and we walk and we obey the known things that we see in your word, and we just do what you have said and spoken through your word, that it sets us up to hear things that are unknown. Father, thank you for your wonderful outpouring of grace and love on us, your children. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more praise offering. Thank you, Lord. Well, hallelujah. We accomplished some things tonight. Spend some time. Come on, get to know one another. Love on each other. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.